The thing is, we never know exactly who the enemy was. All through the night, Jacob wrestled on the riverbank against somebody, against something. When the adversaries had exhausted themselves, they were reduced to speech. With a squint of desperation in his voice, the enemy insisted, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." Unyielding, Jacob hung on, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And the strong man asked, "What is your name?" "Jacob." And he said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob, not satisfied, asked further, "Please tell me your name." And the crafty wrestler sidestepped the question, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And Jacob blessed his adversary. Many interpreters have suggested names for the enemy. He has been identified as an angel, Jacob's alter ego, his brother Esau, even God. But the wrestling match extends all through the darkness. And when dawn breaks and the enemy departs, we still don't know his name. Perhaps we are supposed to hear this story without ever knowing the identity of Jacob's adversary. In the end, Jacob is changed forever by this riverside struggle. The resentful younger twin, Jacob, who hung around his mother's skirts, deceived his father, cheated his brother, found a new name for himself, one that suited him better than his birth name. He found eventually forgiveness from Esau and reconciliation with his father. He reared 12 sons who both graced and plagued him until he died. And his new name, Israel, became the collective name for all his descendants. So perhaps we don't need to know the name of the enemy he found that night by the riverbank. But many struggles are shaped by the name and character of the enemy. And both the duration and success of those struggles depend on the name we give to our adversary. This weekend and today, we have joined people of goodwill, Christians, Jews, and Muslims alike, all over America, to observe the National Children's Sabbath. Inspired by Marion Wright Edelman and the Children's Defense Fund, this annual observance shines the light of protest and hope on the children of our country who are losing the wrestling match. Before we even try to locate the name of the enemy, though, let me rehearse this litany. Every day in the life of America's children, 3 children die from child abuse. 15 children die from guns. 27 children die from poverty. 95 babies die before their first birthday. 202 children are arrested for drug offenses. 307 children are arrested for violent crimes. 340 children are arrested for drinking or drunken driving. 1,340 teenagers have babies. 2,217 teenagers drop out of school. 2,699 babies are born into poverty. 8,189 children are reported abused or neglected. 100,000 children are homeless every day in America. Children are being overcome and pushed into the river in tragic numbers. They are losing the wrestling match, and they can't stand up to their adversaries. Perhaps we should peer into the darkness and shout to the adversary of so many children, "Please tell us your name." Not so that we can bless the enemy, but so that we can hasten the dawn. But there are too many adversaries, too many names. For every name we shout, there are disclaimers on all sides. Who do the children fight against? Perhaps the enemy is government. To many ears, the rhetoric swirling through halls of Congress and state houses sounds like anti-children threats. Erasing funds which help feed and house and educate children feels hostile, whatever the justification which is offered. Curtailing food stamps, slashing money for medical treatment of poor children, and drying up support for education, these hurt children and cause them to feel the hot breath of an enemy. Yet for the entire span of my adult life, public government spending for programs to help children has grown and grown. And still, one child in five in America is considered poor, and one in four under six is poor. In Florida, 2018, 30% of African American children under six lived in poverty, and 20% of all children under six lived in poverty. And for these children made in God's image, the dawn may never come, and the enemy never go away. So perhaps we cannot name the enemy government and be satisfied. maybe the enemy is parents. What an awful thing to say. Yet many children never escape brutality and violence at the hands of their parents. Many children never live in peace at home. Many children believe that the world is hostile and unpardonable because their parents treat them so. It is so hard to imagine the enemy as a father or mother that our collective intuition preserves families even when they are nests of harm. In the law, we are required to overcome a large presumption in favor of parents before we can separate them from their children, even if they act like the enemy. Yet parents live through their own nights of battle, and they are no more sure of their own enemies than was Jacob. Even mothers and fathers who neglect and harm their children may also love them with crippled hearts and deformed intentions. I'm not sure it's enough for us to cry, "Go away, parents, we know your name, it's enemy." Then could the shadowy adversary of children, the one hanging by the riverbank, ready to pin them to the earth, could that be all of us, our society? All over Florida, and increasingly in the rest of the country, there are adult-only communities. No children welcome, says the sign. Or if not the sign, that's the message. Children not welcome. Even in church, we used to baptize children, making them members of the household of God, and then excommunicate them by not giving them communion. How have children become the enemy? Why have they become the target of our complaints and fears? Why are we so annoyed and anxious about children having babies, children just hanging out at the mall, children having sex too early, children killing each other over jackets and shoes, children using up our money and our energy? But children are not the enemy. Children are the promise. Black children, white children, children of all colors and languages and both genders and all communities. Especially poor children and young people who need food and medical care and love and patience. In the great struggle by the riverbank in the dark of night, children are not the enemy. I'm not sure who is, and that makes the journey hard and the fight fierce. Even Jacob never actually knew who his adversary was, but for many years he lived as if he were his own enemy. There was much in his life that tormented him, much in his life to make right. If nothing else, the dawn brought with it a clear liberation from that regretful past. At least he was no longer an enemy. We are keeping this National Children's Sabbath by gathering around the Lord's table. There is nothing else we can do that is more effective against the adversaries of children. For at the table, at the Lord's table, where the food and drink of peace and justice are served, we bring children to eat. Look at them. Notice them. Listen to them. Hear them. Throughout Temple Terrace and our communities, there are thousands just like them. But some children are battered and bruised. Some are desperate and sad. Some are lost and forgotten. Some children are holding on, waiting for the dawn. Saint Teresa of Avila, not usually thought of as an heroic wrestler, said best what we can do against the adversary, whatever its name. Teresa said, Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which is to look out Christ's compassion to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless now. Please tell me your name. But the adversary said, why is it that you ask my name? And Jacob blessed him. And he crossed the river against the blazing morning sun. On this National Children's Sabbath, let us take the hands of children and together cross the river against the blazing morning sun. Amen.